Good morning. It's good to see you all this morning on Palm Sunday. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Father, we thank you for this week, Lord. As we look back on the sacrifice you made, and we can not find the words, Lord, to express our thankfulness and our love for you this morning. Lord, we look to you, Father, and we say thank you. We don't know why, Father, you did it, except for the fact that you loved us. So we ask that you would be with us this morning, Father. Lord, that you would have this be a time, Father, where we glorify your name. Lord, where we hear from your word and what you have for us, Father, what you want from us. Lord, and I just pray you would be with us this morning, Lord. Let our hearts be open to you. Let our minds be open to you. Father, I pray you would calm my heart this morning. Lord, give me the boldness to preach your word, Father. Lord, it's not me, Father. It is you this morning. And I just ask that you would be in this place. Your Holy Spirit would have its way, Father, and we would be blessed by your presence. Lord, I just pray for the people who could not make it this morning, Lord, and they're home sick. Lord, we just pray you'd lift them up this morning. Lord, that you'd heal their bodies, strengthen their bodies, Lord. Give them strength to go on. Give them faith, Father, to trust in you this morning. Lord, we pray you'd be with us. In your Son Jesus' name, amen. Last night, as I had finished going over my notes again and getting ready for bed, my wife reminded me of the fact that this is the greatest, this whole week coming up, the triumphal entry, the crucifixion, the empty tomb, is the greatest love story ever told. Ever more than told, ever acted out. And just something that I thought, you know, Hollywood's got nothing on this. You think of all the romantic movies or love stories that they've put out, and they, a lot of them follow the same plot line that that the Bible led them to, with a hero entering into the scene, and he's coming in, and everybody's rejoicing and expecting great things from him, and next thing you know, a couple days later, there's a betrayal. And all of a sudden, the story's taken that hard turn that grips everybody. And in the end, you have the victory. And we have victory in Jesus even this morning. So I want us to look at, it's Palm Sunday, and I want us to look at the triumphal entry. And we see a story of Jesus is entering into Jerusalem. And we're going to be looking in Luke 19, 28, if you have your Bibles. But it's just before the Passover. Everybody's preparing for the Passover meal. So Jerusalem is bulging at the seams. There are people from all the outlying villages and countryside have all come for the Passover meal to sacrifice the Passover lamb, to have the Passover supper, the meal that they would share together. They're all there, and they've all heard of this Jesus, who in recent days has raised Lazarus from the dead. And some of them have seen Lazarus, some of them have just heard, but they're all excited. They're all worked up. They are excited for the signs and wonders that they might see from Jesus. They're anticipating what he will do for them. They're anticipating what this prophet, this teacher, the Messiah, the rabbi has for them. I'd like this morning, we're going to read through the story and go from there. Let's start in verse 28. When he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And he is Jesus. This is Jesus speaking at this point. And it came to pass, when he drew near to Bethage and to Bethany at the mount called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why you are loosing it, thus you shall say to him, Because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it, just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, Why are you loosing the colt? And they said, The Lord has need of it. Interesting right there. The Lord has need of it, and they let him walk off. They let him walk off with the colt. And just an interesting part where one thing as we read through the rest of this, we see a lot of prophecy being fulfilled here. A lot of things through this whole week that have been told about in the Old Testament that are coming true, that are being fulfilled. There are, just a little historical fact, there are 353 prophecies about the Messiah. 44 major ones that are very specific about every little thing that is going to happen to Jesus as he goes through his life, that are going to happen in these 33 years. Now, just a little note on the ability to prophesy. A mathematician tried to figure out what it would take, what would be the odds of one of these prophecies coming true. And he came up with the conclusion that if you took silver dollars and you put an X on one of those and you stacked them up 2 feet tall, you could cover the whole state of Texas and send a man in there and ask him to find that one, give him one chance to go find that one coin with the X on it. That's how improbable it is for all the prophecy to come through. But nothing is impossible with God. So a lot of prophecy going on here. The prophecy of riding in on a colt, a foal that had never been ridden. Verse 34. And they said, The Lord... Oh, excuse me, I read that one. Has need of him. And they brought him to Jesus. And they threw their coats on the colt. And they said... Jesus, and they set Jesus on him. And as they went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praising God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would cry out. Now we have different versions. This one is out of Luke. Each one of the Gospels has a different little perspective on this. And some are saying Hosanna, and some are reminding us of the palm leaves that were spread down on the path that he rode in on. And so there's just different perspectives. And I wanted to use this one, and we'll get to that, what the main point I wanted to make out of this in a little bit. And so we see a crowd rejoicing. They're excited for what he's done, what they're looking for, what they're expecting from him. But there's one thing that we see coming in this week to come. There's one problem with the worship of him. They're doing it for all the wrong reasons at this point in their life. They're doing it because they have expectations that he's going to be a conquering king. They were worshiping him for what they thought they were going to get out of this. And at this point, they don't know that he's going to die on the cross. They don't see that. They don't understand it. They don't know that he's going to die on the cross and rise 3 days later. So they just know that he's a man who does signs and wonders and is coming in the name of the Lord. And they have expectations. They have wants. They have their own desires. And they were told about a Messiah from the prophets in the Old Testament. So it's not completely ridiculous for them to think that he's going to come and rule their city and rule their country through force. They're expecting a man like David. A man who's going to be riding in a chariot. That would have been one thing they would have been more proper for them, is to see Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a chariot with a white horse and making a big scene. Not on the donkey in Jerusalem was considered the lowest of a burden bearer that they would have. They were used for carrying heavy loads, for doing the hard labor. They weren't used for any of the glorious acts, for any of the praise, the splendor that we would think of a conquering king entering into his country. So they had expectations. They wanted a great military leader. They wanted a man to kick the Romans out by force, to conquer them and get them out of there so that they could be ruled by their king. They wanted a king back in charge of Israel. Got me to looking at what do I want from God? What are my desires from God? What am I looking for from Him? Do I get to be a little bit like the Israelites and get my priorities out of whack and start looking for things that isn't what He's come to do? Do I look at Jesus as just my problem solver? Do I look at Jesus as someone to destroy my enemies? Do I look at Jesus to give me worldly things? The Israelites were looking for a great kingdom. Do I look for Jesus for a good house? You know, a wonderful marriage, great kids. Do we look for Jesus to be showing us signs and wonders so that we believe in Him? I was reading an article, and I can't remember where it was from now, but there was a quote in there. Suffering and sorrow is a reality of living outside the garden. It was our choice to take a bite of that fruit that Adam and Eve did. We've all, at one time or another, been in that place in our life and made the wrong choice. And just like Adam and Eve were set outside the garden, and that we have the vision of the sword sitting there spinning and guarding its entrance. So we're outside of the Garden of Eden. We're outside of God's plan for us. We are outside of His perfect will for our lives because of the sin that we have allowed to enter in. We look at what some of those curses were when God set them out of there. If the diseases we have in our lives, you know, He said to toil in the earth was one of the curses that He said. You know, for farmers to grow plants, it doesn't just come naturally. It doesn't come easily. They plant the seed, but there's weeds, there's drought, there's all these other things that happen that force us to work hard at these things. Our lives aren't as spectacular and as perfect as we would hope. So in some ways we're like the Israelites. We have these expectations of what Jesus should come for us to do. And we get discouraged when we don't find what we want. But when Jesus was entering into Jerusalem that day, He knew what He was there for. He knew why He was there. He wasn't coming in ignorance. He knew riding in on that donkey what he was going to face in under a week's time. Jesus went right to the problem that I had no power to fix. He went right to the problem in my life that I couldn't do anything about. We need to be careful that we don't put God in the confines of our own wants and desires. We need to allow, through His Word, to follow His decrees and learn who He is through His Word and not through what we think. You hear people today that want to say, I don't believe in God because a loving God wouldn't do this, wouldn't have taken my loved one from me. A loving God wouldn't allow this to happen to me. And they use that as a reason to not believe in Him. But they have wrong expectations. We sometimes think that that we have the ability to tell the Creator how He should be. And we get out of sync here and forget that we are the created ones. He is the Creator. And He has the right and the option and the good plan for our lives that we can follow and we can trust in Him. If you look back at verse 39, and some of the Pharisees called to Him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." We even see as Jesus is entering into Jerusalem that the Pharisees already are saying, wait a minute, time out, you're not doing this right. You know, you tell your disciples to be quiet, not to praise you, not to honor you. Tell them to be quiet. And I just caught that as interesting that at times we get that way in our own lives. Hold on, Jesus, you're not doing this right. You're not doing this. This plan isn't what I had for my life. I didn't desire for things to happen like this. And we do the same thing. We try to tell Jesus what to do and how to live, how we should live. We want Him to do it the way we want. And the Israelites were missing the main point and why Jesus had come. They had missed the fact that He had come for their soul. He had come not to build up. In Matthew 6, it talks about that we should not build up a kingdom here on earth, store up treasures here on earth because moth and rust will destroy. And Jesus doesn't ask us to do anything that He hasn't done already. And He didn't come to build a kingdom here on earth that moth and rust will destroy. He came to build a kingdom that we can go and be with Him in heaven. And that's where the kingdom is. We've got to store up our treasures with Him in heaven. And you know, if you're here this morning, I know it's hard to understand God sometimes. It's hard to understand that we have to accept the roles we've been given in life, the lot we've been given in life, and we've got to move on, and He will walk with us. God is just too big and too powerful for our minds to comprehend. We cannot. There's a story of a little boy who's along the ocean and he's trying to build a little sandcastle, and he digs a moat and he's digging it out and he's watching the water fill it in and he's thinking how great this is and he's looking at this little bit of water. But then he turns around and he sees this great ocean. And that's kind of like our minds. We can only comprehend this little bit of what God is. This little bit of what love and what grace that He went through to die on the cross for us. We only understand a little bit of it. But at some point, we've got to trust Him. At some point, it goes beyond what I know in my head and goes to what I know in my heart. That I can't prove it. I can't say for that it is this way or that, but I can see it in His Word, and I can believe. Faith is Forgive me. Faith is believing without proof. And we can trust in Him. And that's what Jesus was desiring of people. Believe in me as I come. Believe in me as I go to the cross. Trust in me. This whole week can kind of come down to one Bible verse, to one scripture. And that is Acts 16:31. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Jesus wasn't riding into Jerusalem, wasn't accepting his fate as he rode into Jerusalem for what I wanted. He was riding into Jerusalem for what I needed. I needed a Savior. And we look at it and we go, Lord, why did it have to be that way? Why did you have to die on the cross? Couldn't you have made an easier plan? Couldn't things have been smoother? But who are we to ask? Who are we to question? He provided a way, when he didn't have to, for our sins to be forgiven. And that's what he's looking for this week. He's looking for from us just to believe in him. To be excited about the fact that we can enter into his family through believing in Jesus Christ, believing what he did on the cross, and worshiping him. And worshiping him for the right reasons, and not being like the Israelites when they, as the week went on and things weren't going as they wanted, things weren't going as they thought. He wasn't trying to put an army together to conquer the Romans. And in a week's time, they go from worshiping him to shouting, crucify him! Crucify him! I pray none of us ever get there. I pray none of us get that discouraged in our walk with the Lord that we turn around and say, I'm done with you, Lord. The Israelites got there. And of course, they were blinded some. And couldn't see what they were doing, and it needed to be done. But we have the Bible. We have the New Testament. We have the Gospels that tell us and can show us a way, can point us a path through faith in Jesus Christ, eternity in heaven. That's why Jesus entered. And that's why it is considered the triumphal entry, even though things went worse. They got bad. That was some poor English, excuse me. But we have something to look forward to. And we have a hope. No matter how hard things get in our lives, no matter what things that we don't expect, what things don't fit in our box of what we think God should allow in our lives, we have a hope in Jesus Christ. Because He came that day to bear something that we could never bear. I couldn't die for my own sins. Only He could, that they might be forgiven. It's an exciting week. We're gonna close with a song. Crown Him. It's in your hymnal on page 234. If you're frustrated this morning at where Christ has you, if you're unsure and your expectations aren't quite meeting up with what He has for you, I'll pray with you this morning as we sing. If you don't know where you're at this morning, if you don't know that you understand why Jesus came into Jerusalem that day, if you don't know what it means to believe in Him and be saved, we'll pray with you this morning. Let's close with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for this week to come, Father, and what you've done for us. We just pray that you would be with each and every one of us, Lord, and help us to remember why you came, Father. Lord, you came to die on the cross and forgive us of our sins, and we thank you for it. Lord, I pray you would be with us this week, Lord, that we would surrender to you, Father. Lord, that we would not get wound up with the things of this world, Father, with our expectations, Father, but we would seek you, Father, and what you came for and what you want from us. We pray you would guide us this week through your wisdom and your Spirit. In your Son, Jesus' name, amen.